Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Fill My Eyes and Company with Poetry. Oh, my God. A funny thing happened on my way to the studio tonight. Let me just tell you. I was sitting in here ever so patiently. I started the audio. You know, the audio started itself. And all of a sudden, it said my episode ended. And I'm looking, and the music's still playing, and I'm looking, and it's still saying the episode ended. I said, well, what the hell do I do now? So I went and I exited the program, only to find out that now I'm sitting in the studio for the After Midnight shows. I'm like, how the hell did I get here? This is like magical transportation. I don't know. So I leave there and I come back and I have four people on the line. I don't know what the hell happened, but God knows I was not alone. So anyway, now that I've told some crazy, silly story about the funny thing happened to me on the way to the radio studio, I guess maybe I'll just pick up the phone. I don't know. So first off, I'd like to welcome Pam to the show. Hey, Pam, welcome aboard. Good to have you here as always.
You know what? It's always great to hear interesting stories. That is quite the adventure. Wow.
I've traveled many miles in the last 5 minutes, let me just tell you, okay? I've been into the future, and it's pretty interesting. And this afternoon, I couldn't get out of the late night studio or the late night show either. I couldn't get to the audio. I couldn't get to the audio for the late night shows. It kept putting me back in the early shows. So I don't know where the hell I am, but I'm here. And it looks like I'm on the right show. It says, fill my eyes and company with poetry. So there's a chance that I'm in the right place.
Well, and if nothing else, we can make it the right show somehow, I guess. I mean.
There you go. There you go. That's a good idea. Well, if nothing else, we'll just twist it into place and make it work.
Yes.
Yes. Set the hammer. We'll make it fit. It's all good. Good thinking, Pam. And I'd also like to welcome Dexter to the show. Hey, Dex, welcome to the party. Good Lord.
Hey, Phil. Hey, Phil, Pam. It was a little easier for me. All I did was call.
Oh, was it your fault? Well, that's okay. I appreciate it. I'm glad you called. And last but not least, we have Laurent on the line with us. Hello, Laurent. How goes it?
Gene Genie. Wham, bam. Thank you, Pam. How are you guys doing? Hey, Dex.
Hey, Laurent.
Hey, Laurent.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a little lost, but other than that, I'm good. As always, you know, and I think I should say hello to Selena, who's in the room. I don't even know if anybody else is there. I've been so devastated by the traveling around. Hello, Selena. I'm waving.
We're all waving. It's a group wave.
There you go. I don't know. Maybe I'll just go ahead and do that and do that and do this and do this. Here, I'll do it my way. Here. Whoa. No. So anyway, what a weird day on the radio. I don't know. I hope I worked out all the kinks for later. Now, that's not a good word to use. Hello, Dark and Doris. Yeah, you know, I don't know what the night crew is going to do, but hopefully I fixed and got all the bugs out, shook all the bugs out, got the broom, swept them all out. Anywho, how? Happiness and joy. So let's see, what do I have now? I have a fair amount of poems on the board tonight. What you think of that?
Nice.
Not too bad. Yeah, not too darn bad. And I guess with that being said, I guess maybe I should stop screwing around, playing around, and get on with the show. How about that? Well, this is an interesting lineup to start with. Let me try this one. Okay, the first poem we're going to put up tonight. I'm going to read this one. And this is called Song of Despair by Jody Prismastia. And I hope I pronounced that right, because my tongue keeps wanting to say something else. Okay, Song of Despair. Fair, O merciless despair, foul devil who roams the air, why do you choke me with your embrace till I am empty and bereft of grace? Despair, O most cruel despair, son of the Lord of the air, do you take pleasure from my misery as you laugh and enjoy your mockery? Despair, O most cunning despair, the Lord of lies, offspring and heir, witness now my battered soul, O demon most wretched and foul. For even a caged bird is still able to sing, yet I am deprived of my music and barely living. End poem. Okay. Well, Sam, you want to run comments?
Sure. I would be happy to do that. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And Laurent, let's start with your thoughts.
Yeah, this is an excellent piece. Despair, almost cunning despair, the Lord of lives, offspring and heir. Witness now my battered soul, O demon, most wretched and foul. You know, we read a lot of poetry where certain things are bemoaned. I don't often hear of despair. There are plenty of synonyms for it, of course. But the Lord of lies leaves despair in his tracks behind him. And despair is not anxiety, it's not melancholy, it's not sadness, it's not anger. It's a very special thing, that last bit before you go under, that last bit before you are deprived of life. And the last lines, or even a caged bird is still able to sing, that I'm deprived of my music and barely living. When despair hits, yes, barely living. It's a great piece.
It really is. Absolutely wonderful comment. And Dexter, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought that this was a fantastic piece. You know, I enjoyed the pointed out, you know, in talking to the Lord of Lies, Offspring, and Air. And I just kind of interpret that a lot of time almost as the despair causes almost lies to ourselves, the lies that we tell ourselves. And also going back up to As You Laugh and Enjoy Your Mockery, I sometimes think that, and I guess I can't be safe for sure, but it seems like almost I picture people laughing and mocking at me sometimes too. So my interpretation of this song a lot of times, even or from this right, just kind of came from within, and that leads to a lot of despair, I feel like, and I thought that this was a great right.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. And Gene, you did a beautiful read of that. Your thoughts?
Okay. Well, I thought it was a great piece. I thought the emotions were well expressed throughout. And I really enjoyed the first two stanzas. I thought it was nicely penned, and I think that Jody did a great job. And the first two, despair, oh, merciless despair, foul devil who roams the air. Why do you choke me with your embrace until I am empty and bereft of grace? Despair, oh, most cruel despair, son of the Lord of the air, you take pleasure from my misery as you laugh and enjoy your mockery. I just thought they were well-worded, and I was kind of drawn more to those than the others. So nice job, Jody, and thank you so much for sharing with us. I appreciate it very much.
Absolutely. Great comment. Yeah, I really liked this one. I liked the personification of despair. I like how the near repetition with this like the one word changed, merciless, cruel, cunning, added a wonderful lyrical quality to this. It made me think about the idea of how depression, well, for him, I said depression that chokes the expression of music out of you, because I know from reading his other poetry that he seems to be a very musical person. But really, to me, it speaks on the idea of how depression keeps you from doing anything you enjoy. And, you definitely see that idea with the mocking of yourself and other people mocking you. And, you know, the idea of lying to yourself. Really, the word despair is definitely repeated quite often, which works well. But I like how it speaks on the idea of all the extra baggage that comes with it. So wonderful write and very well done. And back to you, Gene.
Okay. Here we go, Eugene again. Damn him. You know he's not here, right? He never is around with me neither. Just letting you know.
I just keep hoping that he eventually shows up so we can both get a break.
He did. He showed up at the pool table with me one night. What's my button left? That's the kind of dude he is. Yeah, I got a picture of it, too. I swear to God I did. Anyway, Pam, this next one I have up here, I'm going to give to you. This is called Songs of a Distant Shore, Part 2 of The Journey by Daniel DeSena. Whenever you're ready.
Hypnotica, in waves of reflective cosmos, sun rays trigger a myriad of dancing stars to hide a bottomless void. Gray skies, pale waters, and waves gather clouds' anger, and water and wind wrestle for dominance, destruction. With land I can visualize, but ocean depths are not for man's mind. The hypnosis of immensity became a hunger obsession. I was starving, ravenous, consuming stories and legends, depths with no end. Monsters as big as mountains, ghost ships of the immortal sailors, and storms that consume the world. What wonders to grow the wings under my feet, the rapids in my blood. But obsession to purpose, to reason, was the legend of an end, song of a distant shore, the chance of a heaven far away from my hell. End poem. And Dexter, let's start with your thoughts.
Yeah, this is a great write. That opening stanza is so strong. In ways of reflective cosmos, sun rays trigger myriad of dancing stars to hide the bottomless void. You know, when you look at that picture, and then you kind of wonder, you know, where the water's going and into that blackness, that bottomless void. He captures this so well. Ocean depths are not for man's mind. The hunger, obsession. This thing is worded very well through the entire thing, and I enjoyed it a lot.
Wonderful comment. Thank you. And, Laurent, your thoughts?
Yes, the hypnosis of immensity became a hunger obsession. When we contemplate the ocean depths, it can be a little staggering because when you're literally miles underwater, the water column above you could squash you to nothing if you're unprotected. It does trigger a hunger for knowledge of something that we can't really penetrate yet. I was starving, ravenous, consuming stories and legends, depths with no end, monsters as big as mountains. He contemplates the void of the depths and the immensity of the ocean in the same way that man did a few hundred years ago, drawing maps of the world as they knew it, with pictures of monsters of various kinds in various places. But the ultimate payoff is songs of a distant shore. When those places that he can't see, that he can only imagine, would offer the chance of a heaven for my hell. And I think part of that hunger, part of the obsession, is an escape from whatever hell he's in at the point that he writes the piece. Very well done.
Wonderful comment. And Jean, your thoughts?
I think that this was a great piece, and this is part two of the journey. I wonder what part one was all about. You know, I mean, I wish I could remember or if it was read before. I'm not thinking it was. Excuse me. I think it was a nice take on this image prompt. I have to assume that is an image prompt because it came from the contest artwork inspired prompt. So that would give me a clue, huh? I love the first couple stanzas of this. Hypnotica, in waves of reflective cosmos. Sun rays trigger a myriad of dancing stars to hide a bottomless void. Gray skies, pale waters, and waves gather clouds' anger. And water and wind wrestle in predominance of destruction. With land I can visualize, but ocean depths are not for man's mind. And then it gets into that hunger underneath of that, but I think that the first three stanzas, you know, I can look at that image and I can kind of see where he's pulling that in from. Not that it relies on the image to make sense, but I think since that was a prompt, it's nice to see how well he met that. So nice work, Daniel, and thank you for sharing with us tonight. Great job. Very well done.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. You know, it's interesting because I read this earlier today. And when I read it, I first took it very metaphorically with the idea that a philosophical write on obsession with what we cannot see. And I still stick by that, but I think by reading it out loud on the show and listening to your guys' comment, I realize that it's definitely a more literal poem. But it does have that nice way of being able to be both literal and metaphorical, because I think the ocean, especially the depths of the ocean, are such a representation for those things that we seek that are out of reach, and we may not never have, but it's just such a beautiful thing to dream about them. I really like the emotional impact and the imagery in this stanza. I was starving, ravenous, consuming stories and legends, depths with no end, monsters as big as mountains. I think that really speaks on the idea of the mythology about the ocean and how, you know, it just becomes this beautiful obsession. So wonderful lines all the way through and very well done. All right, back to you, Gene. Gosh, I got to think of something else to say.
You know why Rex makes the big bucks, right? He's always trying to figure out what to call me. So he doesn't have the same joke over and over and over again. Okay, here we go. Dex, can I get you to read the next one? Okay, this one is Love Is Not by Jack Thompson.
Okay, Love Is Not by Jack Thompson. Love is not, breathe you, we whisper, with the washing of the dishes and laundry, sweeping floors, cleaning showers and toilets, cutting green grass, trimming hedges, grocery shopping, and making the bed. That cements the physical brick by brick into the fairy tale castle we live in. Just we two. If the world discovered treasure we have, they'd shout and stomp, teet feet and protest, carry banners and signs, and pout like three-year-olds. Not welcome to the birthday party. No balloons, no sweets, or firecrackers. So we just close the blinds, shut out the peepers, and dance like honeymooners. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Dexter. And Gene, let's start with your thoughts.
You know, I thought this was a great write by Jack. You know, a reflection of his life with his wife. They're coming up on their 50th wedding anniversary in June. And, you know, way to go. I mean, it's not an easy accomplishment. And, yeah, you know, you can kind of feel that appreciation for her in his eyes, the way he speaks to her. And, yeah, and if the world only found out, that would be it. That's the way they work. Anyway, great job, Jack, and thanks for sharing. Really well done.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. And, Laurent, your thoughts. Are you on mute, Laurent?
Yes, I'm sorry. I couldn't let Jean occupy the mute button all by herself. I had to join it. This poem by Jack tells us what love is not and follows up by telling us what love is. And it inspires in some people, not many, but some people a certain amount of jealousy or wonder how such a thing was accomplished, especially in this day and age. So it's nice to see a poem that very simply tells us the basics of love, the foundation, the day-to-day mundane chores that get done for the other person, the small things that we do for somebody we love. It's not just breathing, I love you, which, you know, is just a sentence, it's just a phrase. That's telling. Now show us how you love. And he does that very nicely. Great piece.
Amen to that. Great comment. And Dexter, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought that this was a fantastic write, the way that he talks about, you know, like Ron said, the mundane things, you know, the washing dishes, the laundry, sweeping floors, showing each other, you know, love, and that there is going to be downtime, right? It seems like, you know, the making of the bed, all of these things are downtime. All of these things are done without being said. And you know, it's an incredible feat to be approaching 50. So congratulations to him and his wife.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well said there. Yeah, this is a wonderful write. And yes, congratulations to Jack Tomkovic and his beloved wife on approaching 50 years of marriage. What a wonderful thing. Yeah, and I like that this speaks on how love is shown through our actions, and love is shown and expressed through the simple everyday moments of life, you know. And I do like the intimacy at the end with the dancing, you know, alone together. Beautiful, beautiful line, and very well done. Okay, Jean, back to you.
There we go. I knew you'd figure something
yep.
out.
Yep, I did.
Okay. Well, Laurent, I'm going to put this next piece up for you. And this is called Judge Me for Who I Am by Poetic Picasso.
All right. Judge me for who I am. There is a moment in one's life where one's vulnerability becomes one's conviction, a time when dreams are much more than the inspirations of foolish pretenders. We gravitate to that of which appeals to us in the simplicity of its meaning. Life in this century by many is sorely misunderstood, often manipulated, for it is easy to judge than to be judged. Nothing is truly sacred, nor is no one in the essence of the word. How we define ourselves is merely contingent to how we see ourselves as through the looking glass. The world is a big looking glass to observe, but it is a small world when you look through the lens of a magnifying glass. We laugh at the clowns of the circus, yet when we are the clowns before the audience laughing at us, we frown. There is an undeniable truth beneath the layers of judgment, and that is called sincerity. There is another truth beneath the layers of judgment, and that is called hypocrisy. One's past is what one is. It is the cruel manner that people judge others in accordance with honorificability. Well, okay. The one man's beauty is another man's poison. For beauty, when corrupted in the moral sense, is forever tarnished. Artistic reverence, however aesthetic in its natural form, is forever original. It is beautiful. It is fine. It is the noblest form of affection and adoration. There is nothing unnatural about it. It is intellectual, and it repeatedly exists between the mind and art. Judge me for who I am, not for who I am not. For some, I am a blatant sinner. And to others, I'm an artist beyond this time. Unto my grave, I shall go one day, as the solemn man had dared to ask. End poem. And what was that word? Honor, if they, I still can't do it. You know, that is one thing that bothers me about some poetry. When you throw in a word like that, it doesn't need to be 15 syllables. You use a simpler word. I still can't pronounce that. I'd love to see somebody else pronounce it.
Well, I guess, yeah, I get that. I get that. I have words that I stumble across. I think each to their own, though, when it comes to expressions with poetry, but I think we also all have those words that cause our tongues to trip up. But I thought you did a wonderful read of that, Lauren. Thank you. And Dexter, let's start with your thoughts.
Yeah, I'm glad that Bill chose Laurent to read this one, but I think that there's I think that there's when he's talking about one's vulnerability becomes one's conviction, you know, I feel like a lot of this ties so much into almost the mental health that's been out there. You know, there's a lot of things, and there's such spreading mental health awareness. And I feel like a lot of this stuff kind of ties into that, because it's like once you put that out there and once you start talking about it, you know, you start to wonder sometimes how much of it, how much of that is creating your reality also. One man's beauty is another man's poison. You know, and I think that some of that is within that. But at the same time, though, the mental health or just the, all of that, there is definitely a sense of beauty within that once you can create that into art. And so I think that that's what the poem was about, and I thought it was a great write.
Absolutely. Great observations. And, Gene, your thoughts.
Well, first off, okay, everybody listening? Here we go. I'm only going to do it once. Here we go. Here we go. Okay? Can everybody hear that?
You hit the mute button at the right time there, Gene. I didn't hear it, so do that one again.
Oh, man. Okay, let's try. Can you hear me now?
Yep. Yep.
Can you hear me? Wait a minute. Okay, you should be able to hear me. Okay, here we go. If I can find the damn button. Cut it out now. Oh, I'll be darned.
Honorific ability to achieve.
How's that? Everybody hear it? I sure as hell
could. Sort of. You got there. No, I'm kidding. You got there.
You don't be such a wise guy. I still have volume.
Honorific ability to achieve.
Yep.
Yeah.
Honorific ability to achieve. Got me.
And it means what?
I put that is in the room. I put that in the
room. It's a humorous definition of the quality of being honorable.
There you go. Can't help you with more than that. But
so it's meant to be kind of humorous in nature, huh?
I think it was funny as hell trying to pronounce it.
Honorific ability, diddity, biddity, diddity, wittity, diddity.
You did good up to the end there, Dex. Oh, my God. Okay. Listen, I have Kate on the line. So, hello, Weaver of Dreams. Welcome to the party.
Oh, thank you very
good
much.
To
hello,
have you
everybody.
Here.
Thank you.
Hey,
hello,
Kate.
Good to have you. Hello.
I'm telling
hello,
you.
Kate.
Hello, Kate. Hello.
Hello. So, I was going to say that, you know, I thought it was a great write by Frank. A lot of great lines throughout. I have to say that one really threw me a curve because I never saw such a word, a monstrosity of a word. But I kind of picked it up from, there's a moment in one's life where one's vulnerability becomes one's conviction, a time when dreams are much more than inspirations of foolish pretenders. We gravitate to that of which appeals to us in the simplicity of its meaning. Life in this century, by many, is sorely misunderstood and often manipulated. For it is easy to judge than to be judged. Nothing is truly sacred, nor is no one in this absence of a word. And how we define ourselves is merely contingent on how we see ourselves, as through the looking glass. The world is a big looking glass to observe, but it is a small world when you look through the lens of a magnifying glass. I thought it was just really well done. And, yeah, great job, Frank. Thanks for sharing. Take it easy on us with them big words.
Yeah, right.
Thank God for Google Translate.
So true. Either take it easy on us by making sound clouds. That's what he needs to
yes,
do.
Yes, that's it.
Yep.
Now you're talking. Now you're talking.
That's a wonderful comment. And, Kate, did you get a chance to read Frank's poem, Judge Me for Who I Am?
No, I did not. I missed it completely. Sorry, Frank.
No problem. I'll catch you on the next round.
Okay.
Yeah, I really like it when Frank takes on the voice of Oscar Wilde, to where he represents Oscar Wilde, but really he represents to me so many creative minds that think outside the box. Throughout history, you know, and I thought it was a wonderful philosophical write on judgment and how we are perceived not only by the world, but by ourselves. Wonderful, right, all the way through, and very well done. And Jean, back to you.
Okie dokie. Well, Kate, since you just got here, I'm going to give you the one I was going to read. And okay. This one is The Siren Song by Dark and Doris. So whenever you're okay. ready.
Just give me a second and I'll get it. Oops, sorry. Nope, hang on. I can't see it. Where am I? Nope. I'm going badly wrong here, folks. I'm not panicking. Yeah, I'm just looking for it. Oh, it was there a second ago. I refreshed. That's what I did. I refreshed the thing, and everything disappeared. No,
that is. You want me to put it up again?
Yes, if you could, please. That would be great.
Absolutely. There we go. Find the space, and here we go. There you go, hon.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying that I'm looking for. Oh, there we are. I've got it. There we are. Blimey, that took a while. It always seems to be at the beginning when I try to start that things go wrong. And then it gets very. Here we are, the Siren Song. Sorry, folks, for that delay. Here we go. Oh, lovely. Right. A beautiful maiden in a long pearlesque dress sings a song to the captain out at sea. Her voice carried on the wind and waves. Melodic, serene, tranquil, and tantalizing. The ship turns off its course back home and sails towards her hypnotic voice, crashing onto unseen rocks hidden by the foggy night. The ship sinks, and the last thing the captain's eyes see is a beautiful maiden morphing into her true form, and his crew are victims of the Siren Song. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Kate, and what a beautiful dark story, right, by Dark and Doris. And Laurent, let's start with your thoughts.
Yeah, sirens are very strong in the mythology of this world. The Odyssey certainly has one of the stronger stories of sirens. They're beckoning, impossible to resist, and the ship does not resist. The captain does turn toward that hypnotizing voice, only to meet a sad fate crashing onto unseen rocks hidden by the foggy night. And it's just a telling of a moment. If you have to draw any conclusions from it, it can be beware of that which seems to be too appealing, too fetching, because at the end of it is something that may be unpleasant. So beware the Siren Song, regardless of the form that it takes. Excellent.
It really is, absolutely, and great observation. And Dexter, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought that this was a fantastic write. You know, it almost had me wondering if this was based off of another tale. It was so well done because it just falls into this category so well that I thought that it was just fantastic the way that it was done. So very well written, Dark Norris.
It really, yeah, absolutely. Great comment. And you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
Thank you. I did kind of stumble a couple of times, but I apologize. I'll do better next time. Yes, I thought this was lovely. We started off with that fantastic picture, and you think, oh, yes, that's beautiful for that. And then we find out that this is not his wife that is singing this beautiful song to him. So he's got no choice of being hypnotized by the Siren Song. It's amazing, isn't it? You wonder, these fantastic myths and legends, You wonder where they came from originally. It must have been somebody who thought, I'm going to make a story up and I'll tell everybody about it. So clever, really is. This was lovely. So thank you so much for that.
Absolutely. Well said there. You know, some people believe that the legends of mermaids and actually came from views like sailors who saw manatees. You know, I don't know about that because to me, manatees are so dang ugly that you would have to have a lot of, you know, rum drinking.
or been at sea for 2 years. Oh, look, a mannequin. Yay.
So there you go. There you go. Lots of rum and see it for 2 years. And look, it's a beautiful woman. And the next thing you know, you're making out with it. And then you look and you go, oh, shoot.
I mean, I've had nights like that in Scotland. You don't have to be at sea.
Too funny. Yeah. I thought this was a wonderful story, right? You know, I like how, and I did, I, you know, I like the question that Dexter asked, but I don't think for me, I thought that it was from a specific story, but just rather the genre in general of the siren mythology. And I really liked the imagery in the couplet, crashing onto unseen rocks, hidden by the foggy night. And then the line, is the captain's eyes see, is a beautiful maiden morphing into her true form. So you realize at the end that the deception that was there. So wonderful lines and very well done. And welcome back, Jean. So back to you. Are you on mute, Jean?
I'm sorry.
Oh, yes, I am. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Good to know the mute.
She just ran outside to give her a siren call.
Right. I thought for a few seconds there she ran to another studio or something.
Well, you know, I've been known to do that tonight. No, of course, Dex, you should see the headlights coming down my street. They're just lining up. Oh, my God. I let out a yell. They said, oh, my God, who stepped on her foot? It would say tail, but I don't have one of those. Anyway, I thought the piece was wonderful by Dark and Doris. I did. I thought the story was great. The imagery was wonderful in it. And, it was very well done and well put together. So thank you so much for sharing with us tonight. And as for my next piece, I don't know what I'm doing. So, Pam, I'm going to give it to you. And this is called Museum Exhibition by Hope Soul. Whenever you're ready.
All right. I went through all his rites tonight. Maybe I wanted to get my belly full off him. Shoving his words down the throat, taste of bitter dried grapes to make barrels of Syrah. Perhaps I wanted to see eyes dark almond, tender, nutty, madhouse nogging, boxing. I watched him playing with dead friends, pissing on snakes, talking with felines, missing old heat, tapping away at vows of never again. I won't now and forever, I read all the words he chained together. Forever they are housed, serving their time on AP, double life sentence cloaked in a matter that he wouldn't know it was me from first glance, who went leafing through old memories. But yes, I confess to it, taking a stroll down the old familiar, unfamiliar cobblestone that feet like mine have never ventured down. Yes, I turned pages in this virtual book and saw the artist, wet flowers, howling puppies, bottles of beer and whiskey, ashen cigarettes with hardened roosters. I witnessed a soul and it was beautiful. Now I'm full with still a favorite poet, you bastard, end poem. And that is absolutely a stunning rite. And let's start with your thoughts.
This is an interesting poem. Wow. Yes, I liked it a lot. I liked the way it staggers as well. I love when lines stagger. It gives it such a thrown together look. And you know it's not. But this is Museum Exhibition. I'm just checking this. Perhaps I want to see that. Yes, okay. This is here. I'm trying to find. Oh, yes, this is the one. Playing with dead friends, pissing on snakes, talking with felines, missing old heat, tapping away at vows of never again. Yeah, haven't we all done that? I think we have. It was very good. It's beautifully done, and I enjoyed it so much. I just think that all of it, but we get to that last couple of lines. Yeah, now I'm full. Right, because he said he'd empty stomach. Yes, now I'm full. There's still a favourite poet, you bastard. Well, this is that kind of loving relationship between people that they can actually be amazingly nasty to each other and nobody bothers too much. So I thought it was very well done. Thank you.
Absolutely. Great comment. And Laurent, your thoughts?
I enjoyed this a great deal. The lines, Madhouse Noggin Boxing. I watched him playing with dead friends, pissing on snakes, talking with felines, missing old heat, tapping away at vows of never again. I won't now, forever. It's very revelatory. If you think about it, exposing his feelings in a very poetic way. That is. Well, the value is in the description as far as I'm concerned. Nicely done.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. And Dexter, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought that this is a great write, an ode to, I believe her, I don't know if it's her boyfriend or husband or what, Nuno, assuming this is about, and just going through. You know, even though you know the stories, even though you read them before, going back to the first poem and reading through again and, you know, with somebody that you love and, you know, it's a fantastic write and very well done.
It really is. Comment. And Jean, your thoughts?
I have to say, I thought this was a fabulous write by Hope. Very well penned. You know, I can feel this piece. And I think it was so very well pulled together. I grabbed up, well, the last, I guess, maybe half almost. I read all the words he chained together. Forever there are housed, serving your time on AP, double life sentence, cloaked in a manner that he wouldn't know that was me from first glance. Wouldn't know it was me from first glance, who went leafing to old memories. But yes, I confess to it, taking a stroll down old familiar, unfamiliar cobblestone that feet like mine have never ventured down. Yes, I turned pages in his virtual book and saw the artist. Wet flowers, howling puppies, bottles of beer and whiskey, ashen cigarettes with hardened roosters. I witnessed a soul, and it was beautiful. Now I'm full, with still a favorite poet. You bastard. I get it. I totally get that. And beautifully done, Hope. And thank you so much for sharing it with us. I really appreciate it. Great job.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. And yes, I have to agree. I think this is very relatable, especially since, you know, when somebody is a poet and, you know, you're a poet also, you have this understanding that oftentimes, even if they don't necessarily mean to, people show pieces of themselves through their poetry, you know, and especially with the Nuno's style. And I like how this has a confessional poetry tone. It's raw, it's gritty. The lines are brilliant and emotive. I like how it speaks on treasuring the poetry that reveals someone's soul and getting to know all the different parts of them. And, you know, even the almost ugly and brutal parts and seeing that beauty in it, that I really like where she says, I read all the words he chained together, and then where it says, I confess to it, taking a stroll down the old familiar, unfamiliar cobblestone that feet like mine have never ventured down. I mean, what an absolutely beautiful adventure to go into the mind of your love through poetry. So very well done. All right, Jean, back to you.
Okay. Where the hell am I going? Oh, okay. Pam read that. Weaver read that. So I have to skip over Weaver now because I did it that way. God, this is going to be a trip. Okay. Yes. Okay, Dax, I'm going to have you read the next one. It's by Luke J.R. called Shrapnel Shapes. And now I can just put it up on the board. Here we go.
Shrapnel Shapes by Luke J.R. Shrapnel Shapes. Within a treacherous climb, while others crawl, our helmets are seen as target practice. Heroes fall. Carrying rations, carrying diaries, carrying stories. Whatever you are carrying, I'm carrying the heaviest of all. What is the heavyweight you have been hiding for all these years? I'd look around the room at first to make sure I'm alone. And this familiar voice, radio signal echo throughout. She must be a nurse. That makes the most sense to me. Within the painted tents, I'm sure she's the one for me. For I've lost what I can never be found again. A friend, not just a friend, a family heirloom, a lover buried in shapes. I held the hand as it turned colder in the sands below. I'd hide behind the mounted dirt, protection from those who hurt. I'd carry their heaviest of weapons, lonely throughout the battles. I'd drive the monumental war machine, just to be heard, just to be seen. And yet the red painted walls, purplish like a mix of Aberdeen. That's not the trail I wish to follow. It's too narrow for me to swallow. Within seconds, not even minutes, could save them. Time had frozen. I was alone. No play pretend here, not flying around airplanes, no cardboard castles, no playful jabs or imaginary arrows. I'm lost in this dusty wasteland. I'm lost in this forbidden sand. I'm casted out for all to see. I'm a target now, down on one knee. Within every flash of light, I saw the same story told at night. She looks badly wounded, and I'm nowhere to be seen. And yet I see to be my son wearing dark green. He takes off his helmet with sadness in his eyes, while masking a proudness behind his twisted lies. And he tells a tale of how I lost myself in the dirt. But I thought we were heroes. Heroes don't get hurt. Or at least that's what I believed when I was just a kid. My father told me the deepest stories could travel for centuries. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Dexter, and a powerful write by Luke J.R. And Lauren, your thoughts?
The last stanza, within every flash of light, I saw the same story told at night. She looks badly wounded and nowhere to be seen, and yet I see what looks to be my son wearing dark green. Being the storyline that's told by his father are kind of immortal. You pass stories down from one to another. Sometimes the stories change over time, but the kernel of the story is the same. And it's a great way to pass on information. I mean, storytellers are incredibly revered throughout history and living history. Cultures that have no written history is very, very important. So I think this offers those tendencies, those feelings, and does a good job honoring that kind of storytelling.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. And Jean, your thoughts?
I thought this was a great write all the way through. The story was well told. No, I thought the imagery was good. And I have to say, I really liked the very last stanza. not that I didn't like any of the others, but within every flash of light, I saw the same story told at night. She looks badly wounded. I'm nowhere to be seen. And yet I see what looks to be my son wearing dark green. He takes off his helmet, sadness in his eyes, while masking a proudness behind his twisted lies. And he tells a tale of how I lost myself in the dirt, but I thought we were heroes. Heroes don't get hurt. Or at least that's what I believed when I was just a kid. My father told me the deepest stories could travel for centuries. It is amazing how stories can be passed down like that. And what an impact they can make. I thought that it was just a really well done right all the way through. I guess I grabbed that one just because it was, it kind of summed it up in the end. So nicely done, Luke, and thanks for sharing with us all tonight.
Absolutely. Great comment. And Kate, your thoughts?
Oh, yes, I agree with everybody. It's a great poem. So it's a hard thing, isn't it, that kind of life? I'm ruminating, I do apologize. But yeah, when you think about it, you know, fighting, and you're proud, but still, it's not the right thing. Nobody should have to do what these people have to do. Yeah, I thought it was very well done, beautifully written. It jumped, it didn't just flow, it jumped along, which I thought was great. Yeah, you get the energy from it, which I enjoyed. Thank you so much for sharing.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. And Dexter, you did a great read of that. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought that this was a great write, and almost had the feel of it like, you know, and I got the feel of it if being soldiers, and, you know, if you had, or a soldier that had been through combat or something like that, you know, you might think the last thing that would be the what you would want for your son, but they're obviously gravitated towards what you do and your grandkids and things like that. And so, and then also, too, you know, over time it's been more accepted to speak on your behalf of what you've been hiding for these years. I'm sure World War I soldiers talked about war less than World War II, less than Vietnam, you know, and so on and so forth. And so I just thought that this was a very interesting write and very well done.
Absolutely. Great comment. Yeah, I thought this was a stunning write. Wonderful use of language, beautiful lines, yeah, hard-hitting. I like how it speaks on a generation from generation, and how oftentimes when you're young and innocent or young and naive, you look at the adults in your life as heroes. And I like how he tells this right from the perception of a young person who idolizes their father and idolizes the idea of war and the idea of hero making. You know, only to find that that's not what it is. And I felt like the end lines, like has been mentioned, definitely it wraps the poem up nicely and brings it to a sharp point. I really like the imagery, and I held the hand as it turned colder than the stands below. I'd hide behind the mounted dirt protection for those who hurt. Those lines really speak on what it's like to be not only surrounded by death, but by holding the hands of someone who's dying. So powerful, right, and very well done. And back to you, Jean.
Okay. Eugene, you hear that?
I miss Eugene.
Oh, Eugene.
Eugene is such a jerk. He never shows up when I need him. Okay, the next.
Eugene's some slack.
Yeah. No, that's how he got to the point where he never shows up. That's how that works. Next piece I'm going to put up is going to be Honeysuckle by Weaver of Dreams. So let me put that up, and believe it or not, I have an audio for that. Let me check. Nothing. Here it goes.
I cannot remember a time when this fence around me did not crackle with an antisocial, angry current. Although using that as my first line of defense, bristling with distrust constantly, depleted my life force. There was no other recourse for me then. I could not let down my guard. Who knew what lurked beyond? You did. Bathed in a golden glow, you permeated every link in that deadly chain fence, nullifying anger and fear. You employed no tactics. You simply did not notice or react to the inherent threat posed by my barrier against all. To this force of nature, a wave of irresistible optimism, coupled with a universal acceptance of diversity, I succumbed. It took a little time. Years of pain cannot be dispersed by a mere bandage. Then I felt it, unconditional, searing love for me. Your glow is now mine too, sweet and gentle, sometimes fierce, fiery. Whilst around my fence, honeysuckle twists and twine.
Sweet.
What wonderful read and write there, Kate. Absolutely beautiful. And Jean, let's start with your thoughts.
Well, I don't know if you heard me say sweet, but that, no pun intended. I thought this was beautiful, Kate. Really some lovely lines in here. It took a little time. Years of pain cannot be dispersed by a mere bandage. Then I felt it, unconditional searing love for me. Your glow is now mine too, sweet and gentle, sometimes fierce and fiery. Whilst around my fierce honey or fence, honeysuckle twists and twines. Lovely ending to that. It's sometimes you got to go through a lot of muck before you get to the good stuff on the other side. That's the way I feel about that, you know, absolutely. There's a lot of good stuff in here. Like, there was no other recourse for me than I could not let down my guard. Who knew what lurked beyond? You did. Bathed in a golden glow, you permeated every link in that deadly same sense, nullifying anger and fear. Lovely stuff. Very well done and a great read, as always. So thanks for sharing with us, Kate. Really enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you so much, Phil.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful comment. And, Laurent, your thoughts?
Some people will erect a fence around themselves as a line of defense, if you will. They've been hurt, and the way they defend themselves is to erect that fence. Not literal, of course. It's metaphorical, but it just as much could be real as not. And there's usually no penetrating it, because what is outside the fence? Things that we fear. Do not be hurt. We erect that fence. We maintain a distance. But then there is always that one person who is able to, Katie says, permeated every link in that deadly chain fence, nullifying anger and fear. But then to take the next step, to accept that love of yourself, can be very, very difficult. As Katie says, it took a little time. Years of pain cannot be dispersed by a mere bandage. It's not so much a bandage, is it? Maybe it's a new appendage. It grows from you. It takes its place in your life. I thought that the method of acceptance of the other's glow now being yours, sweet and gentle, just rounds the poem out perfectly. Very well done, Katie.
Thank you so much. That's very kind.
Absolutely. Great comment. And Dexter, your thoughts?
Well, Laurent hit the nail on the head there. You know, the fence that we build, and in finding that person that is willing to put in the time, is willing to put in the effort, you know, that understands, and that maybe understands because maybe that's them breaking through their own barriers too, so they recognize it. And so I just thought that this was a great write.
Absolutely. Wonderful comments, everybody. And Kate, this is a beautiful, heartfelt write. You know, I really thought it had amazing imagery and metaphors. It was, I like how it speaks, as everyone was saying, on breaking down the walls of defense with persistent love and understanding. But also you have to do it with a gentleness and a patience, you know, somebody who has been through that much pain, who has been through that much heartbreak and has put their walls up, isn't going to let them down if you keep throwing yourself against them. And so I like how this speaks on putting those walls down in with a gentle, understanding love. I really liked this all the way through, but especially you did bathed in a golden glow. You permeated every link in that deadly chain fence, nullifying anger and fear. You employed no tactics. You simply did not notice or react to the inherent threat posed by my barrier against all. You know, wonderful lines all the way through and very well done. Thank you for sharing it with us.
Thank you so much.
And nice. All right, Jean, back to you.
Okay. Laurent, I'm going to ask you to read the next piece. This is called I Know a Place by Ben Hart.
Okie dokie.
There you go.
I know a place. I know a place. One civilian. Happiness is happenstance, coincidence by a kinder name, the trust that, let me get my glasses and I'm going to begin again. Civilian, happiness is happenstance, coincidence by a kinder name, the trust that what once was a burden, a test of the strength in our shoulders, will become flame and burn away the hurt, and fire shall unfold into wings when the galaxies sing. For the civilian soldier who had already made peace with the dirt, the halt. And this is youth, heart, the smile of bone, but immortality of eye and soul, like the earth is young in ancient space, and though time gives chase across the hills of cobblestone, you'll never catch us all. And life is just hiding in plain sight, something for the masses to miss in the rush. As to mean more, to be inescapable beauty, when the whole world stops for just one girl, and the bustle of existence becomes muted, because for a moment, all there is you. The near, the far, and the moment. And she was lonely because she was finding herself in a lost world. And he was lonely because he was losing himself in a fixed place. And I was lonely because the only one I ever found hiding was myself among the rest of me. It's schizophrenia. It's a family. It's dysphoria. It's the other half of me. It's asphyxia. It's a necessity. It's a mental anorexia. It's everything I cannot be dealing with. It's utopia. It's where freedom is. It's dysphagia. It's my untethering. It's social hysteria. It's everything I am weathering. It's internal bleeding. It's warming me. It's suffering. It's just a funny constant. It's my undearly departed, but so very beloved friend beside God. who I so dearly miss. Sometimes I get angry. Sometimes I'm despondent. But only because life was just getting good and you should have held out for us. Because it's the love, always the love, I call poetry. The blood, it's never the blood. That's the enemy. But the pain it's trying to ease. I just want to be dark horses running free. And want you all to run with me into the blood. Atrophy's halo. 8 years, I'm coming back. Mama, I'm not dying anymore. Mama, I'm fighting for the rest of my life. Be worth the pain of my birth. You are a good mother. I know I don't have to tell you that anymore. You can see it in my eyes now. You gave me the scales of a dragon and the heart of an angel, one I will try my whole life being worthy of. 9 years. You and me against the world. Evelyn, forgive that girl. She can't hurt you anymore. She's defeated. Just some pictures on the floor. And through all of our wars against leaving out the door, they cannot see you were always the sister I needed. Now the world moves with you and me. 16 years. Brothers, what Obi-Wan and Anakin could have been. There's not many a man for whom I'd kneel. You're the man I love most to the outermost rim of a galaxy, lonely. And maybe we're Maul and Vader some days, but I know whatever we face will never bring defeat, only glory and grace. Hey, Dad, I'm 23. You named after Eagle, and the mother you love most. And with every rainbow, she still is me. I love that I am loved by someone who wasn't there to meet me. That is my father, Ake, and Arnaut, a joy who taught his kids to fight for love, for life, and everything they need to be. Beloved, it was I who wrote it all in the stars. All you ever need when there's need. To be alone, to be unhappy, to be sand and be scattered, to be hammered and battered. On a clear day, face the rain from underneath the umbrella of atrophy. Look for the gypsies, Hobbs and Shires in the mire, and the way back as a painting in motion and comedian irises of tired Irish is to look up and find me keeping watch. This is us and our daring return to love. Noah, and I wept and begged, please don't run from me. And for the first time in 8 years, he looked back at me and said, Ben, I'm not running from you. I'm just showing you the way because I know a place you're going to love. Try and keep up. You're already late. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Laurent. I would say after that read, if you haven't already poured yourself a whiskey, you should do that. Or whatever is the poison of your choice.
It won't take much encouragement to send me in that direction.
Right? Absolutely. And Dexter, let's start with your thoughts.
Yeah, I'm already there too. But I thought this was a masterpiece, really. A lot of Ben's rights are fantastic, and it's hard to believe that he's 23 years old. The stanza that I really thought stood out, other than the ending, I thought just was incredible. But I thought that stanza 3, where he starts kind of rattling off the different diseases and conditions, you know, I'm very beloved friend beside God, so dearly missed. Sometimes I get angry, sometimes I get despondent, but only because life was getting good and you should have held out for us. I thought that whole part was particularly strong, and but the ending, though, the ending brought it all together, and I'm not running from you, I'm just showing you the way. That was an incredible part to it. So amazing piece, great artwork, as always, Ben, and well done.
Absolutely. Great comment. And Kate, your thoughts?
Ah, yes. It has already been said. This is epic. And I was also drawn to that stanza that basically named everything that could possibly be wrong with someone who's got who's not being what they want to be. Your mind is a very powerful thing, as we all know. I'm not stating the obvious here, but it can become a traitor to you. It can let you down so easily, and that's the hard thing, because it's not something you're doing. It's your lack of whatever you need in your brain to get you back on an even keel. I do feel sorry for people who suffer with this kind of thing, because, as I say, it's not your fault. It's just happening to you. And I've said this 1,000 times, and I don't want to repeat myself again, but I will. If you've got a plaster cast on, if you've got a walking stick and you're bent double, people can see your pain. People can understand. But no one can see the pain of somebody who's anorexic, who's, you know, got a problem with people, who can't cope in society. And that's the hard thing. I think this was a great write, and I really enjoyed it. It was very clever, Ben. Thank you.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. And Jean, your thoughts? Are you on mute, Jean?
I was clearing my throat as I went to get it, so I think I got a hair point here. You know, I thought this was a fabulous write, very well expressed. And so many excellent vignettes throughout. It was outstanding work, and I really enjoyed it. Amazing job. I grabbed up that last vignette because I thought that was, like, pretty exceptional. Although it was, obviously it was how he tied it together. It didn't explain anything. But I really liked the way he did it. You know, she looked back at me and said, Ben, I'm not running from you. I'm just showing you the way because I know a place you're going to love. So try and keep up. We're already late. I thought that was really well put together there. And it's a positive note, I think, in my head. I took that as a positive way of tying it up. So nicely done. Wonderful ending and nice job. Thank you for sharing, as always, Ben. Great job.
Absolutely. Great comment. And Lauren, you did a great read of that. Your thoughts?
Yeah, Ben takes us on a journey, doesn't he? A search for happiness, a rejection of the ill that sometimes we have to overcome in life, the personal relationships that can be rewarding, could be rewarding, but sometimes aren't. The fact that true happiness or happiness is never purposeful, it's an action. It's a happenstance, which is kind of discouraging. and the relationships, family relationships and how they affect you. That one stanza where there's about, I don't know, 50 lines, and every sentence, every line begins with it's a schizophrenia, it's a family, it's dysphoria. That is particularly powerful, not just because of the repetition, but because of what's said, the difficulties of having to endure things like asphyxia, mental anorexia, dysphagia, et cetera. It can chip away over the years unless you're very, very strong. But clearly he is. And he rediscovered love and relationships. It has a great ending because I know a place you're going to love, so try and keep up. We're already late. when you think someone is running away from you, they're actually leading you somewhere where you're going to be happy if you just have the patience. Great peace.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wonderful comment. I have to agree that this does speak on what it's like to have relationships and the dynamics of those relationships. I also have to agree with everyone that that ending was particularly great and powerful. And I thought it spoke well on the idea of learning to understand the journey. And I did like where he brought up the different, mental disorders that so many people struggle with, and it's so difficult to understand them yourself, let alone get other people to understand them. This is just a powerfully written vignette, strong imagery and metaphors, and really an inward look at what it's like to struggle out in society and reconnect with people that we were once connected with. So wonderful lines and very well done. Jean, back to you.
Okay. Okay, here we go. The next piece I'm going to put up is by Stelina, and it's called Whither Goes Your Heart by Stelina. So here it goes. I have an audio for that one.
I have an audio for that one.
Here we go.
Stand upon the shore where I held you last. My tearful eyes scan the ocean's endless vast. Will you return with roses and in our love belief? Or will I bear lilies to your tomb in grief? For you are gone to fight the foe. And whither goes your heart? Mine too will go. My heart bleeds with every wound you take. In a far-flung land, you suffer for our sake. I walk in each of your weary tread. I am the shadow beside you in dread, for you are gone to fight the foe, and whither goes your heart, mine too will go. where are gone the days of endless spring, when the joy in each other made our hearts sing. Once full of blossoming hopes and dreams, all burned on the battlefield now, it seems. For you are gone to fight the foe, and whither goes your heart, mine too will go. Searching the horizon, I see no ships, and the salt from my tears burns my lips. In my ear I long for yours again to whisper low, Hariat, Dween de Gardhi, darling, I love you so. For you are gone to fight the foe, and whither goes your heart, mine too will go. Arlan amor, my Keri Glesion, Arlan amor, my Blodir Mebion, Arlan amor, my Poblin Wethai, Arlan
Oh, wow, that was very impressive. Wonderful read and write, beautiful singing. And thank you, Stelina, for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And Laurent, your thoughts?
My thoughts are swirling throughout the sky. The counterpoint of the Welsh native language with English, one spoken, one sung, is absolutely haunting. I wish that there was a visual, I wish that there was a video of this with the imagery to accompany it, because it would be the complete package. Not that this poem is not, timeless emotions shared in song and in spoken word are the center point for me of this piece. The lines in this poem soar. They elevate sadness and sacrifice to a special place we all hold dear within ourselves, the place where tears begin, where love grows from seed, and where death is first recognized as a necessary sacrifice. Do that be what fate intends? When I say timeless, it is timeless in what it expresses. It is timeless in the way that that particular song sounds. It stops me in my tracks. It moves my emotions. And I just kind of lean back and wonder and go, wow, fantastic stuff.
Absolutely. Great comment. And Kate, your thoughts?
Well, as usual, beautiful piece of work from Delina. And that, her singing voice, how sweet was that? So clever, so very, very clever. And she's never going to be alone, is she? She's got so many people in her head that she's always going to have somebody to talk to. Oh, I love her. I think she's brilliant. And it's the beauty of her words. I mean, they're just so elegant and so sad. I don't like the sad bit. Yeah, I thought it was wonderful. Thank you so much, Luna, for sharing. It was well worth it.
Definitely. Great comment. And Dexter, your thoughts?
You know, it's kind of ironic that Laurent, I've been following him comments all night, and I definitely was going to see Timeless on this one also. When she started talking about it, I think that it dawned on me where it said, you suffer for our sake. I walk with you in weary trend. This piece almost had the Timeless thing stuck in your head. Almost it felt, and this is a compliment of a church song. It almost had that kind of timelessness to it, that you can hear a song and also, you know, you can remember being 6 years old sitting in the, listening to a choir sing it, or listening to a pastor with a great voice sing it. This just was an epic, right? And an amazing piece that you see down here is I believe you say it right in the top, is dedicated to your sister. Very well done.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. And Jean, your thoughts?
How do I say this in so many different ways? I thought it was completely gorgeous, Selena. Well penned and incredibly performed. Amazing piece, and I really enjoyed it very much. I thought it was a stunning presentation. So thank you, as always, for so much for sharing with us, as always. Very much appreciate that. Great job.
Oh, definitely, definitely. This is stunning. Wonderful comment. Yeah, absolutely beautiful. I love how she mixed the words of her poem back and forth with the lyrics to the song, and how beautiful and heartfelt that she dedicated it to her sister. I like how this speaks on love and longing and the idea of someone who's, you know, waiting for their beloved to come back from the sea. And it's an emotionally charged and epic tale. Wonderful lines all the way through. And definitely very well done. And Jean, back to you.
Okay, the next piece I'm going to put up is called Method Acting by Duke of St. Paul, Dex Bailey. Imagine that. Here we go, Dex, whenever you're ready, bud.
Oh, dang it, I got to follow that one up, huh? So, all right.
Better you than me.
Hey, well, at least this was from Stellina's contest, so maybe she'll show me some mercy. It's called Method Acting. An invisible battle, harder fought than anyone will ever know, except my creator and me, carrying this crushing load right next to you in the hall as I smile at your story. Then I respond with a joke. Thank God it's the weekend. Before I isolate myself at home, embarrassed by the reality and exhausted by pain, afraid truth will multiply the distance I travel by train, further from happiness, riding the tracks of my tears. End poem.
Wonderful read and write there, Dexter. And Kate, your thoughts?
Sorry, just taking off the mute. Oh, I thought this was brilliant. I really enjoyed it. I can imagine, I mean, it must be the worst thing in the world, method acting. If it's not your bag, be a tree. I don't think I want to be a tree. But it's so good. Carrying this crushing load right next to you in the hall, and I smile at your story, then I respond with a joke. They thank God it's the weekend. Before I isolate myself at home. Yeah, I can understand that would be a hard thing for somebody who finds it difficult to come out of themselves, but then come out of yourself and be something else would not be easy. But it's great. I mean, it is a great thing, method acting, because you get all those facial expressions, which has always been my favorite. So thank you, Dexter. I thought that was brilliantly done.
You, Kate?
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. And Jean, your thoughts?
Dang it, Pam. I was listening to the song. I was listening to the song that went with the poem. Dex, I think you did a fabulous job with this. I see in your AN, you know, pain, sadness, depression in an adult. And the song itself is a good reflection of that in a lot of ways. Sad, but a wonderfully, wonderfully written piece. You know, an invisible battle, heart of flesh than anyone will ever know except my creator and me, carrying this crushing load right next to you in the hall as I smile at your story. Then I respond with a joke. It's well hidden, well covered up, hard to see. But when I read the ending of this, I went, wait, I have to look a little deeper into this because it's like, wait a minute now. Afraid truth will multiply the distance I travel by train, further from happiness, riding the tracks of my tears. Very, very well done piece and very well put to the prompt. So great job. Great job with us all the way around, and nice work.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Phil.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Wonderful, wonderful comment. And I apologize, but did I have you comment yet, Laurent?
No, you haven't.
Okay, well,
I will.
Go ahead.
Yeah. The ability to pretend that there's nothing wrong at a moment when you're kind of dying inside is indeed method acting. Be able to stand there and smile and joke before going home and isolating yourself, exhausted by pain, scared of the truth. It's a brevity that has a great truth in it. It was well done, Rex.
Thank you, Laurent.
Great comment. Yeah, I thought this was a wonderful brevity. You know, I really like the emotion in this. Amazing imagery and metaphors that had a really consistent and polished tone to them. A great takeoff of the chosen prompt. And I like how this speaks on the idea of the masks we put on in public while the mind and body suffers from the effects of depression. Or at least that's what it spoke to me on. And I really like, as I smile at your story, then I respond with a joke, say, thank God it's the weekend, before I isolate myself at home, embarrassed by the reality. You know, oftentimes the reality of our life is so different than what we present in our public persona. So wonderful, right, and very well done.
Thank you, Pam.
And back to you, Jean.
Oh, Lord, like I'm supposed to know what to do now. Yes, I do. Laurent, I have one more for you to read before we move on to get another one or two, and then we'll get into yours. So keep pinching yourself. Just saying. Cigar Smoker Section by Sapphire Rose. So whenever you're ready, Laurent.
I think I need what's in the glass. That's what I think.
I'm not killing anybody.
There I was, sitting with a bourbon neat and a Cuban burning in the ashtray, jazz penetrating to Village Vanguard. The 1960s crowd wafted across my observation, the purest form of distraction for a man on the verge of falling into cosmic deja vu. I thought time was well spent, and was indulging in the pleasure of you by my side, whispers in your ear, soft caresses upon your flushed cheeks, adrift in consummating the metaphor of love and life, as I gaze into the cigar smoke burning nearby, reflecting on your perfect delineation, dancing in dim candlelight, your swaying form set the mood, oh, so right. Your transfixing smoky image fetters me to you in the here and now, wishing you were the one by my side. Placing the Cuban between my teeth, a taste of masculine and bourbon meat, your Kittner's smile itches my breath. Lost in the burn of the bourbon and the dark, full-bodied, woodsy flavor of a gentleman's niche. Lips encased it, inhaling the boldness until the ash descends into the ash tray just before the bourbon devours me. Know that your touch lit me up in the darkest of hues, taking me to the threshold of what once was. I see with crystal transparency infinite truths as the memory of you dances in the cigar smoke. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Laurent, and a beautiful write by Sapphire Rose. And Dexter, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought this was a great write. Kind of brings you to a time and a place. And you know, really what it is that, I mean, and I know she's talking about earlier a little bit of a jazz club and stuff, but it's tough not to reflect on life when you're having a smoke and having a bourbon. And in the 1960s, it brings you to a simpler time when before you just kind of looked at your phone for a little while or maybe put on a song. Your mind was creative in things that prompted the memories, you know, memories of you dancing in the cigar smoke. You were just more in tune with different things that would take your mind to different places. And I thought that this write was great and well done.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. And Kate, your thoughts?
Oh, this just flowed beautifully, didn't it? I enjoyed that. That first stanza places you exactly where you're meant to be. There I was sitting with a bourbon neat and a Cuban burning in the ashtray. Jazz penetrating the vanguard. So there we have it. It's the start of it. And from there on, we find out just exactly what is loved by the person that's got the cigar and the bourbon. Just enjoying the dancing and the swaying and the smoky images. Oh, I love that. Your transfixing smoky image fetters me to you in the here and now, wishing you were the one by my side. Oh, it's a sadness in this as well as it gets better. It's got a nice touch at the end, but I thought it was very well done. It really caught me up in the story, which is always a great thing. Thank you so much, Sapphire Rose. That was wonderful.
Absolutely, absolutely. Great comment. And Jean, your thoughts?
Oh, I thought this was just an excellent piece by Sapphire Rose. I love the male perspective that she wrote it in. I think she really aced that, I don't want to say attempt, but she aced the whole idea of that. Very well put together. There's so many great lines in this, great stanzas. But I'm going to stick with the basics. I thought it was wonderfully penned. Great imagery. I love the male perspective that she penned here, and most excellent work. I really enjoyed it very much. So thank you, Sapphire Rose, for sharing with us. Always enjoy seeing your work.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm glad she shared this with us. And Lauren, mm-hmm. You did a wonderful read of this. Your thoughts?
Yeah. I had spit to myself that time. I'm telling you, Jane, you're playing with fire. I really like the descriptions in the first two stanzas that I quoted in the comment, the lost in the burn of the bourbon and the dark, full-bodied, woodsy flavor of a gentleman's niche and lips encased tip inhaling the boldness until the ash descends into the ashtray just before the bourbon devours me. The memory in the poems is a reflection of thought expressed in the poem. It's a nice way to close. Well done. It was very atmospheric.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Atmospheric. Very well said. All right. And Jean, back to you.
Okay. I have the next piece up for you, Pam. It's from Mr. Whiskers and Mr. Cheesy. So there we go. Whenever you're ready.
All right. Well, this was written for a contest where you had to write a sonnet, but it had to be a humorous sonnet based on a picture of a mouse with a lighting a stick of dynamite by a cat's face. So it goes like this. The tabby cat is sleeping through the night. He's dreaming of catnip and sweetest cream. He's stuffed with stringy bits of mousy bites and is near to exploding at the seams. Before Mr. Whiskers can open his eyes, and while he's off in the vast land of Nod, the vermin are planning a loud surprise that will leave him flopping like a shocked cod. Mr. Cheesy is the high-pitched voice of doom till he lights up the dynamite, for he knows all of mouse kind in the room cheer when Gato Diablo gets a fright. Oblivious kitty dreams rodent meat. Mercenary mouse quickly squeaks retreat. End poem. And Lauren, what's there with your thoughts? Thank you.
Well, the stringy bits of mousy bite and exploding at the seams was very well done. Your rhyming is natural, but it's also humorous, as you said, as it needs to be. And the vast land of Nod, the vermin planning a loud surprise. Those are all things that are great contributors to an entertaining story. I like the Mr. Cheesy as the high-pitched voice of doom, lights up the dynamite. I mean, you certainly accomplished what you wanted to accomplish. I'm going to have to check out the picture because I can't see it. But nice job.
Thank you. Thank you. And Jean, your thoughts?
Oh, I love this. I did. I love the rhyme. I love the meter. I love the story. And as Laurent said, you know, not only did it rhyme nicely, but it had such a wonderful touch of humor in it all. You know, here, while he nods off in the vast land of Nod, the vermin are planning a loud surprise that will leave him flopping like a shocked cod. You know, you just kind of stay on that little bit of humor all the way through. And, yeah, I want to go see that picture, too. So excellent job, Pam. Really well done.
Thank you. And, Kate, your thoughts?
As everybody else has said, it was just beautifully humorous and beautifully surprising. Some of your lines are just superb. I mean, they're all very good, all very, very good. But some of them are sublime. As Laurent mentioned, he's stuffed with stringy bits of mousy bites. Oh, my God. It sounds awful. Oh, my goodness. No wonder. Okay. Yes, I thought it was Mr. Cheesy in his high-pitched voice of doom. It's excellent. Because he's a little mouse, you wouldn't expect any of it to be high. You are having a problem. We're going to get you. Love it.
Thank you.
Really good. No, my pleasure. And thank you for sharing that. It was a delight.
And Dexter, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought that this was very entertaining, and what a great name for him, Mr. Cheesy. It was just I loved it all the way through, and you painted the story very well. Great job, Pam.
Thank you. And Jean, back to you.
Oh, sugar. Okay, let me let me see if I get prepared. The next piece I'm going to put up is a piece by Laurent. And that's not a piece by Laurent.
Well, you had forgotten all about me.
I told you to keep pinching yourself. If I hadn't said that, then you could be sure I'd forgotten, but I didn't forget you. I just knew I needed the Sapphire Rose. Okay, here we go. This is called Cell Phones, Telephones. I run. There you go.
Cell phones, telephones. Blue world spins, cloaked in silver mites, an orbital cloud made by man. It's a mad cellular flow. I'm catching only bits of it, myriad fragments of virtual life. Sequence syllables in a fractal dance measure speed and content. Fingers tap and stroke the glass screen, opening the stopcock, releasing an inundation that beggars the drumbeat of exaggeration. Symphony of talk, varietal visions ricochet, off the cornea of our minds. Standing erect in the digital maelstrom, straining to breathe above the binary tide, neck high and rising. Years are accomplished in minutes, and age holds no advantage of experience save the very living of it. Each pocket on earth holds a magic key. Each key opens all doors. Everyone steps through. Programs program, busily knitting an electric skein for all reasons, calculating the over-under. Sages sit quietly, ignored, individually certain of their mantras. Knowledge, like the spice, flows. Everybody has the key, but nobody knows nothing that isn't on a shimmering platter. Divergency handed to them. End quote.
Wonderful read and write there, Lawrence. And Dexter, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought that this was a great write. You know, you start to, you know, the fractal dance and off the screen, you start to, you know, wonder what kind of impact this is, you know, as they ricochet off the cornea and off of our minds. You start to wonder the impact of having this tool up to our face all the time and just the dance that it's doing off of your brain. And that what I really like, though, is that you go down here and where the hell is it now? An age holds no advantage of experience, save the very living of it. You know, you right now, right, you can look on YouTube and you can look up all of these different things that had happened throughout history. And some people would say that they're more of an expert on things, or like, you know, they act as though they're more of an expert thing on things than those who have lived it and those who have come from that experience, which obviously I hold different. But at the click of a button, at the click of your screen, you can be a kind of a half-ass expert on something, supposedly. So great, right, Laurent?
Thank you, my friend.
Absolutely wonderful comment. And Jean, your thoughts?
Well, I thought this was a well-penned piece, Laurent. The work is open to... What the hell am I saying here? Hang on a second. The world. The world is open to everyone here, but they seldom acknowledge what is not in the box, which isn't found in the box. You know, a lot of really important hands-on, face-to-face important things are being lost, you know, because everyone's so reliant on this new metal, silver, or simmering platter, however you want to word it. You know, things are being lost, important things. Compassion, you know, that's not in the box. There's a lot of things not in the box that have to be hands-on and person to person in order to bring to fruition, at least in my opinion. So in that respect, I have to say this is a really great write, and it says a lot of truth. As you know, I mean, that's the way I see it. So excellent job, and thanks for sharing with us. Nice work.
Great comment, Jean. Yeah, I really thought this was an amazing write. It has a brilliant imagery and metaphors. It's a powerful write on a fast-paced, changing world that is becoming slaves to technology. And I particularly like standing erect in the digital maelstrom, straining to breathe above the binary tide, neck high and rising. You know, wonderful lines and very well done. And Kate, your thoughts?
Yes, this was a really, really good poem. I enjoyed it very much. And yes, you're right. We are fighting against technology overtaking and going past us and leaving us way behind. And that's a scary thing from all the things that we've seen. It can happen, but not, maybe not as the way they have it in films. but somebody somewhere is secretly making something that's going to take everybody's job. Excuse me. Terribly sorry, my voice is going. Wonderfully done, Brent. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you, Katie.
Great, great comments, everybody. Thank you. And great show, Gene, and back to you.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, everyone, that was, I'm going to call that the last poem for the night. Milat, congratulations, you stayed with us all night. High five. Just messing with you because I can. We have four carryovers for next week. I have one for Scott Sharp, one for Richard Weissman. Kate, I have one of yours for next week, and I have Jenny the Deep I'm carrying forward. So if the four of you didn't hear your poem, that's why. I have to take it to the next show. I wouldn't want to race through any of them. But what an excellent show. Great poetry all the way through. Very enjoyable. And a great night of poetry. And I want to thank everyone who called in and shared it with me. Laurent, Kate, Dex, Pam. Dex, you're always welcome on my show. You're a lot of fun sometimes. I like it. I love it. And
Dexter,
because he's not one of my regulars.
Dexter, you know? You're an awful lot of fun. Sometimes.
Sometimes.
You know, he's a little irregular. That's what I'm getting at. Anyway.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry.
Perfect.
No. Don't be sorry. I'm just messing with you a little bit because I can. I'll ever take it personally. Good Lord. You take me personally, you may as well forget it. You'll think I hate you all the time. I only pick on people I like. But it was a great show and great company. And thank everyone who called in to read, comment. Thank you, everyone who shared their poetry. It's always a pleasure to read it on a Friday night. And, yeah, I can't wait to do this again. I mean, I'll have a version on Sunday. I'll be on Rex's show, probably with Pam. Dex, you calling in? Maybe Dex. You never know. And I'll be back again.
Yeah,
if I don't
call it night early, I'll be there on Sunday.
No, that's fine. You know, if you do, I understand that too. Anyway, thank you everybody very much. We only have a few seconds left, and it's been fun. So take care of yourselves, and thanks as always. Night.
Good night, everybody. Good night, everyone.
Night.